Shalom, believers, and welcome to the Shofar Ministry Program. This is Nan with my wonderful partner in life, Reverend Sheila Crawford.
Many blessings to you, sweetie, and to all the listeners, and thanks for inviting us into your home or car. You know, I have lately, probably because of my age perhaps, I've been reflecting on how things have changed in our lifetime. Like, we never even had plastic bottles. We'd rinse out the glass pop bottles and return them for a penny each.
We always recycled.
Yes. And we could go on and on about all that, but I think it's time to pray.
Abba, Father, as we adjust to the many changes happening in all aspects of our lives, let us remember that you are the same yesterday, today, and tomorrow. You promised us a kingdom to come, so we stand on that promise, knowing that commitment will never change. Give us the fortitude we need to stay strong in the face of mounting adversities to speak truth over today's accepted norms. We recognize our battles are not with flesh and blood, so we will bathe ourselves in your word, so that the light of your armor will protect our minds from the many gross deceptions that are plaguing our world. We exalt you, O Lord, and lay these recent prayer request needs at your feet, and may salvation come soon to our lost loved ones. In Yeshua's name we pray. Amen.
And amen.
Well, the good news last week was President Trump's second acquittal.
Yes, and we are pleased it didn't go on and on with scores of witnesses, although the reason the Democrats decided against it was because the real truth most likely would have come out.
Yeah, the Republicans were even going to call Nancy Pelosi.
Mm-hmm. Because she knew all about the rioting infiltrators, that they would be dressed up as Trump supporters and to attack the Capitol building. And so did the D.C. mayor, which is why there were very few Capitol police there to stop them at the beginning.
So anyhow, the impeachment's over.
Yes. And President Trump spontaneously showed up yesterday in his motorcade for the President's Day parade in West Palm Beach. And he was cheered on by, I don't know, they told me like a million people.
Yeah, Trump's not going away.
For sure. And I'm sure he'll help the Republicans take back the House in 2022.
But in the meantime, we have the Biden administration to deal with,
which is already quite disunifying.
Here and in Israel, too.
Mm-hmm, for sure. You know, remember, it was just 4 years ago when Biden was vice president to Barack Obama, the most antagonistic of all American presidents toward the Jewish state. I remember that. And he didn't like Bibi Netanyahu either. Now that Trump's gone, will the new Secretary of State, his name is Blinken, challenge Trump-supported Israeli sovereignty over the Golan Heights?
At least he said our embassy could stay in Jerusalem.
Yes, but remember, that's still in West Jerusalem. It's East Jerusalem where the Temple Mount sits that will probably be given away to the Palestinians now for their capital.
That's a no-no in God's eyes.
Right, Joel 3, the big one. And we've talked about that many times. But let's talk a quick second about the vaccines. We did just put out another newsletter addressing more details on what we have concluded after a lot of reading. And I am grateful, actually, that I do have a medical background in radiology, which certainly helps my understanding. But to me, these vaccines can be very dangerous, both immediate, but more likely, say, within 6 months or even years later.
So, in a nutshell?
Well, for decades, vaccine researchers have been studying this messenger RNA, which are tiny snippets of genetic code essential for spiking cells to build more proteins, which elevates the immune system.
Which could be a good thing.
Well, it could if... This is a big if they could be contained, which they were still working on, but were forced to hurry to get a vaccine out, warp speed. President Trump, I don't believe, was told of the possible dangers of this mRNA in these vaccines that, well, to me, really isn't a vaccine because it doesn't use any bits of the actual virus.
Yeah, these injections are synthetic.
Yeah, and since they can't totally control the cells once they're stimulated with this mRNA, they could easily become their own pathogen creators with the danger of them attacking one's own organs, causing great harm.
So we're the guinea pigs, yes?
I think so, because they even bypassed the animal testing.
But now they are testing animals.
Yeah, but the results are not being openly discussed, saying, well, they need more time. Well, so do we.
So, hold off on the injection.
I would say for sure. Again, there's more information in our newsletter, and also I get a lot of information from DrTenPenny.com, if you want to check her out.
Jeez. Okay, we welcome your end-time questions to Sheila at ShofarMinistries.net, or call the office and leave your detailed message to 440-834-9006. Also, by regular mail to Post Office Box 513, Burton, Ohio, 44021. If you appreciate these last day's insights, please tuck in a love offering to help with our expenses, and God will bless you for it. As well, you'll receive our informative teaching newsletters. You can also donate on our webpage, shofarministries.net, which contains a boatload of teachings with all the past radio and instructional newsletters archived for your added learning.
Okay, there is a Jewish festival called Purim coming up at the end of this month.
The amazing story of the Jewish Queen Esther of Persia.
Yes, and most Christians do know the story, but every Bible story has a deeper meaning we term as typology. And the book of Esther is full of typology or pictures that can particularly speak to us who live in these last days of the certain and final future victory over our enemy, which should keep us all happy, even in the age of Biden.
Amen.
So we'll be studying this today and next week as well. So please, this week, read the book of Esther once again slowly and prayerfully and see if you can find even more pictures that we might not mention.
We just want to stir you up.
That's right, as Peter says in 2 Peter 1:13. But first, to give you a quick overview in case you're a new believer, this miraculous account takes place after many Jews, thanks to King Cyrus, they had returned to Israel after the Medes and Persians conquered the whole Babylonian Empire,
where the Jews had been in captivity for 70 years.
However, many Jews, especially the older ones, were reluctant to return, knowing the difficult task at hand of not only having to rebuild Jerusalem, but to erect a new temple, and also to face the many enemies that would hinder their efforts. Hindered they were, but not defeated.
Read Ezra for more to that story.
Yes. But anyhow, life was good for the Jews still living in Persia under King Cyrus. And even later, his descendants treated the Jews kindly as well.
That is, until the wicked Haman came on the scene.
Mm-hmm. Yes, he had recently become the second in command as chief minister in King Ahasuerus, also known as Xerxes, court, who deceived and convinced the king that the Jews should all be killed because, well, they were beginning to rebel against the king's court. But it was mainly only one.
The Jewish Mordecai.
Because he refused to bow down to this newly promoted vizier, Haman.
Which infuriated Haman.
However, as divine fate has it, there was now a new queen that replaced Queen Vashti because the king became very displeased with her attitude as she refused to showcase her beauty to the guests at a feast the king was giving. So, many women tried out to be the new queen, including Esther, who hid her Jewish identity after being convinced to do so by her older cousin, Mordecai.
who had raised her after the death of her parents.
Anyhow, the king was smitten, for she had an elegant air about her.
And was very beautiful.
For sure.
So this was approximately 60 years into the new Persian Empire.
Yes. And soon Queen Esther finds out about Haman getting permission from her husband, the king, to annihilate all the Jews in the entire empire.
Which would also include the Jews now living back in Israel.
Yeah, all of them. So again, you please reread this whole story. But to be brief, soon Queen Esther confesses she herself is Jewish and explains Haman's evilness to the king, who then became furious.
Thereby hanging Haman.
Yeah, and on the same gallows that Haman had built for Mordecai. Now, the other reason they celebrate Purim is that the Jews would have to defeat Haman's army, because the king, unfortunately, also gave Haman authorization to attack all the Jews.
And once the king declares an edict, it could not be reversed.
So, instead, the king provided all the arms and armor needed for the Jews' miraculous victory, which occurred on the 13th and 14th of Adar.
Which this year, 2021, on our calendars, is February 26th and 27th.
Now that's the short summary, and it's imperative you read it yourself.
And to your children and grandchildren.
Yes. And, as an adult, what should also be pointed out, as we stated earlier, is the amazing amount of typology and acronyms used within the story.
Those hidden gold nuggets.
Mm-hmm. And God uses equal distance lettering, in the Hebrew text, of course, to spell out important words. And we'll do more of that later. But first, let's start with the easier-to-see typology by using the Hebrew calendar month of Nisan on the 17th.
When the evil Haman was hung.
Mm-hmm. Which is easily figured out by connecting the dates given in Esther 3, verse 7, and continuing in chapter 4. But this is a very important date to remember. Again, Nisan 17.
In our springtime.
Because just happens to be the same date that Jesus would later defeat Satan by rising from the dead, was his resurrection.
Therefore, defeating our enemy, bringing new life to all who believe.
Mm-hmm. Just like Haman's destruction represented new life to the Jews in the Persian Empire, which, had they all been destroyed, meant the Messiah, well, could not have been born. Think about that. So Nisan 17 also has another important event attached to it.
The Israelites crossed through the Red Sea.
You remembered. Which gave them new life from bondage by destroying their enemy, Pharaoh. Also a type, I would say, as in the Antichrist.
So, definitely an important date.
But there is still more. You can also figure out from Genesis 7 that Noah's Ark landed on Mount Ararat on Nisan 17.
Also representing new life to the human race.
You think? So Haman is a type of the Antichrist who rules over 10 nations, and we know that from Daniel in Revelation.
Probably why Haman had 10 sons who were all killed as well.
That's right, for sure. And another gold nugget people miss is that Esther is a type of us, the righteous bride. And it's amazing to see in chapter 2 that she had an extensive time of preparation.
Just like the long church age.
Mm-hmm. We have an extensive preparation. And here's the cool part. She was finally presented to the king on a new moon, which is the first day of Tebet on the seventh year of the king's reign. Now we too will meet our king in the 7,000th year from Adam's creation. Again, also on a new moon. Especially since it was the Jewish custom that you could only see the king or any man of God on a new moon or a Sabbath.
And that is confirmed in 2 Kings 2, 4.
And
I'm sorry, 2 Kings 4.
Okay, thanks. And by the way, Rosh Hashanah, the probable future resurrection, always falls on a new moon because it signifies new life as well. And it'll be a new life for us, which is why Adam, we believe, also was created on a new moon, Rosh Hashanah, which means head of the year, as in like it's their New Year's Day every fall season.
Amen to that.
And another thing, since we are dot connectors, Jesus was incarnated into Mary on the 8th day of Hanukkah, which just happens to be
the new moon of Tibet 1.
Uh-huh. All these God-given gold nuggets are just mind-boggling. Esther, a picture of the bride, is presented to her king on the new moon of Tibet, one which would later be the exact date that Jesus was presented to Mary in her womb on a new moon.
Which is also the 8th day of Hanukkah.
That's right. Jesus' number is 8. God is extremely detailed.
And a date setter, I might add.
Oh, that he surely is. So, it was during the month of Adar on the 13th when Haman's lot fell.
Similar to throwing dice.
Right, to annihilate the Jews. So the festival of Purim, which actually means lots, takes place all over the world.
A jubilant celebration.
Yes, it's a time of fun, game playing, dressing in costumes, and joyful remembrance. And they read Esther aloud. And it's called the Megillah, where Mordecai and Esther's names are always cheered.
But Haman is booed.
Mm-hmm. And a three-cornered cookie filled with fruit is eaten to commemorate Haman's Persian three-cornered hat.
It's called a hamatashen.
Hamatashen.
Hamatashen, that's it.
Also, when reading the Book of Esther, and hopefully you will this week, look for other types, as in God and Jesus, the Holy Spirit, the Antichrist, believers and unbelievers. And if you have children, why not have a Purim party, as the Jewish people do every year, and dress up as Persian characters? It's a great learning experience of God's Word and His miracles.
Well, many years ago, we put on a play. You know, that was a lot of fun.
I know it was. It was hilarious, actually. But now, in our last few minutes, time goes so fast, I'd like to give you some more steak to eat. Remember what Proverbs 25, verse 2 tells us? It is God who conceals hidden matters, but it is our duty to search it out.
So we will grow deeper by spending time in His Word.
That's right. You know, our Jewish forefathers taught that the highest form of worship is the study of God's Word. The Book of Esther has many hidden stars beneath the surface, like the meaning of her name implies. God's name of Yahweh, as well as the I Am, can be found in what we call acronyms, which is when you take the first letter of, say, 4 or 5 consecutive words to give a shorter version of its meaning.
We actually do this quite often.
We do. An easy example would be like NATO.
North Atlantic Treaty Organization.
Another is WAC.
Women's Army Corps.
Even the USA or the EU, NAFTA, FBI, CIA, well, you get the drift. And every year at Passover, I share the acronym written on the cross in Hebrew. You know that what it said, Jesus of Nazareth, King of the Jews? Well, in Hebrew, the acronym is Yod-Heh-Vav-Heh, which is God's name, Yahweh. So Jesus was declaring himself as God in the acronym of that written statement. We can see this as well in the Book of Esther, as in chapter 1, verse 20. It says, "Let all the wives give honor." When you look at it in Hebrew, in your interlinear Bible, which, by the way, all students should have, the acronym spells out YHWH, which is Yahweh. And another is in chapter 5, verse 4, reading right to left in the phrase, "Let the king and Haman come today." Well, in Hebrew, it's Yahweh. Still again, going this time left to right in chapter 5, verse 13, where it says, this is no gain to me. Again, Yahweh. And still again in chapter 7, verse 7, going right to left, it's when Haman realizes he is doomed again, we see Yod-Heh-Vav-Heh, and where it says evil was determined against him, Yod-Heh-Vav-Heh, which means by Yahweh. This is fascinating stuff, but this is just the tip of the iceberg. We also see the acronym of I Am, which is the very name God used in Exodus when he announced he'd be delivering his people from Pharaoh, and now once again delivers them from Haman. In chapter 7, verse 5, where it says he, this is the one, the acronym is I Am. So, if you have ever questioned whether the Bible was totally inspired letter by letter, this should help you understand that man alone could not have written these scrolls. Impossible. And there is still more. You can also see equal distance letter sequence, or ELS for short, is also an acronym, actually. This is where you have the same amount of letters, in Hebrew of course, between the next correct letter to spell something very significant. Example of this is in Esther 1, verse 3. We see the name Mashiach is encoded in Hebrew. And of course, what is the number for Jesus? It's the number A, which means never ending or eternity. So, after every eighth letter, going from right to left, you pick up the next letter in Mashiach. Starting with the Hebrew letter Mem, and going forth eight letters to the next letter Sheen, and then eight more to the next letter Yod, and finally eight more to the last letter Het. It's Mashiach. It's Hebrew for Messiah. It's quite incredible. I get so excited. In chapter 4 of Esther, verse 17, we see the name Yeshua, counting every eight letters from left to right, beginning with the Yod, Sheen, Vav, Ayin. We see Yeshua. And then in chapter 4, verse 2, we see the word El Shaddai, which is God Almighty, spelled out every seven letters. And then, and this one is really hilarious. In Esther 3, verses 11 and 12, when the king is speaking to Haman, starting with the first Hebrew letter, He, in Haman, counting every sixth letter, which is the number for man, it reads, Haman and Satan stinketh. Honestly, and of course, I'll try to leave you with an easier one before we run out of time, but the most newer Bibles already have it inserted, so most of you know how in Psalm 119, beginning in verse 1 and counting every eighth verse, which is Jesus' number, begins with the next letter of the Hebrew alphabet, 22 Hebrew letters, so times 8 is 176 verses, which there are in Psalm 119. Again, man alone wouldn't even think about doing that. Only God. And another interesting nugget is this. Did you know that all languages flow towards Jerusalem? It's just amazing. All right. Well, we're out of time, but we'll continue this next week with a quick review as well. But let me ask you, where are you in your walk? You need to grow. I want to leave you with the Aaronic blessing. The Lord will bless you and keep you. The Lord will make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord will lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace. Till next time, Sha'alu Shalom, Jerusalem. Pray for the priests of Jerusalem. Those who love her will prosper. Psalm 122, verse 6. Tell someone about Christ, because it's time, because we're running out. Shalom.
thanks for listening to this week's broadcast from Shofar Ministries, hosted by Sheila Crawford on AM 1220, The Word. If you would like to help keep this show on the air, please visit the Shofar Ministries website, shofarministries.net. That's all one word, shofarministries.net. Once you're there, click the donate button on the left side of the page, and it will take you to the PayPal secure payment site. If you don't use the internet, you can send your check or money order donation to the following address, Box 513, Burton, Ohio, 44021. That's Box 513, Burton, Ohio, 44021. For any questions or comments about this program, please send an email to Sheila at the following address, Sheila@ShofarMinistries.net. That's Sheila@ShofarMinistries.net. Please join us next Tuesday night at 8 for Shofar Ministries right here on AM 1220, The Word. The preceding program was brought to you by Shofar Ministries.